Good morning and welcome to Connect and Grow Radio Show with Jackie Grant. It's Wednesday. I almost thought it was Tuesday. With these long weekends, it's a little hard to know what day is what. So our topic today is all about the NDIS. And for those of you that are not in Australia, you're not really sure what NDIS stands for. It's the National Disability Insurance Scheme. Now, what we talk about on this show is general information, and we always encourage people to go and do their own research, to ask the right questions, or even just ask questions to the right people. Now, I work with a lot of businesses in the disability sector, and I've worked with a lot of people and that live with disabilities, and often in the language that we use, a person with an NDIS plan is often referred to as a participant. Depending on the provider's background, sometimes they refer to those people as clients. I get it a bit wordy in the sense of I like to go, you know, a person living with a disability or a person with an NDIS plan, because I like to keep everything person-centered. But occasionally it will go back to participant, client, that kind of thing. I come from a nursing background, so often it was the patient. It's just terminology, but I do it with respect. As somebody that, as you know, people will often say, because I have ASD, so autism, and also ADHD, and I have some PTSD, so lots of abbreviations there. Technically speaking, I am also a person that lives with a disability. I also have an arm, a left arm, that occasionally just doesn't want to work properly. But that's life, right? I am still a person. I am a person that is passionate about empowering other people. I am a person who loves to encourage people to enjoy their life. Like, you know, do things that are positive, that lift you up, that you can do. You know, in this world, there are so many things that we cannot do. And that's everybody. Everybody has some, at least one thing that they cannot do. And it, the size of it doesn't kind of matter. Like, you know, some people have a fear of heights. So to climb a mountain and then look out, you know, they've got to look out, not down. And they've got to have strategies to do that. Some people cannot, for the life of them, say certain words. Like, they just simply can't. Their brain just goes, yeah, I think this is what it is, but I'm not really sure. You know, it gets all tangled up. And the reason I'm sharing this is because it's okay. Nobody can do absolutely everything, but I love to empower people to do the best they can with the skills that they have, with the abilities they have. I read somewhere the other day where someone was saying in a comment, stop calling us people with disabilities. That word is so disrespectful. Disabilities. You know, it's a disability. And I'm like, well, fair point. That's how it is for you, you know, and that's what you want is for that word to not be used. But at the moment, this moment in time, it is used. And the NDIS is the National Disability Insurance Scheme. That's what it is, right? So we have to refer to it that way. But I also got this person's point in that if we focus on what we can't do all the time, then it can be really hard. Right, life can be really hard. If we focus on what we can't do rather than what we can do, then we're focusing on what isn't working. And it's then really hard to find the motivation, the inspiration to live, in the sense of to go out and try new things, to enjoy our life. Like if we just focus on what isn't working and what, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, what can you do? And you kind of lose a focus on what you can do. I've worked with people and they've shared with me all their barriers. They've shared, I can't do this because of this and I can't do this because of that. And I'm like, right, awesome. But what can you do? What is one thing that you can do right now? Well, I can make myself a cup of coffee. Awesome. There's a win, making a cup of coffee. And it's not with sarcasm. It's actually, yes, that is a win. Good job. But our mindset and our belief is so important to our enjoyment of our life. So over 10 years ago, the National Disability Insurance Scheme was set up, and boy, has it changed, and had a lot of talking about it in those 10 years. I remember being as part of a working committee with the trials of My Aged Care and NDIS. And My Aged Care is for people that are over 65, and there's a set criteria there. And the NDIS works with people from birth right through to the age of 64. And we're not going to go into the debate of people with living with a disability who still need support over the age of 65. And we're not going into that discussion today. Today, I'd like us to focus on some of the good that the NDIS has actually brought into the sector, into people's lives, because at the moment it is in the media and so many posts are like, right, well, the Honourable Bill Shorten did submit into Parliament getting the NDIS back on track document. Don't know that that's what officially it's called, but that's what we're going to go with. And there is a lot of people out there dissecting that document and saying, well, if this comes into play in all its entirety, it's going to mean A, B, C, D, E, F, and we could probably keep going. And what that means for a lot of people is that a lot of people that live with a disability are concerned that their choice and control is going to be taken away from them. Now, it's all a perception thing. This is the one thing I want to say, is that when the NDIS started, it was started with great intent to actually help people who live with a disability to have services specifically for them in their vastness. Now, when it comes to disability, there are so many different types of disabilities and communication styles and so many different things going on that, it is so hard to have one system that fits everybody. So it's kind of got to be, who is the system set up to support, to provide? And is it the people living with the disability or is it the providers? Because it almost needs to be split in levels. You've got to have your provider compliance, which is what there's a task force working on that right now. And we're going to hear more about that in July or from July 1st onwards. And then there's the type of services and how the person living with a disability can actually access those services. So there's two parts to this scheme, but it all gets jumbled into one. And I have not read the document that the Honourable Bill Shorten has submitted to Parliament on Wednesday. I haven't read it yet. I've read a little bit of it, but I haven't sat down. And I'm reading the posts of the people that are dissecting it, and they're sharing some valid points and concerns. And I'm going to like take that on board, and I'm going to then read the document myself. I think it's like a 60-page document, if memory serves me right. Might be a little bit less. But I will read it. I will go through it. I will process my interpretation of it. And welcome, sweet angel Bear. You're great to have you here listening. So what I would love to do is for us to take a moment, and if you're listening to the recording of this as a podcast, take a moment to think about, if you live with a disability or you know someone that lives with a disability, and think about what makes their quality of life better for them. And then have a moment where you're thinking about what that might be like to provide that service, or where do you find that service? Now, here in Australia, that was the whole idea of the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, was set up to provide those services to people with a disability. But as we just said, there are so many different levels and complexity around disability. Now, a lot of people think because I do this show, because I do videos, because I do events, that I cannot possibly be autistic level two. I just couldn't possibly be that because I'm so social. But what they don't realize is the energy that it takes for me to do this, the energy that it takes for me to show up with a crowd of people, the energy that it takes for me to, do a video that is positive, that is coming from a place of giving information that people can then go and dissect and read and review themselves. It takes a lot of energy from me, and sometimes I need to have a few days after an event or even a week after a big event to not be around people. Now, that's a strategy that I've implemented myself. But people that live with a disability every day sometimes don't get that opportunity for themselves to have this break. And especially if they live on their own, they sometimes really, really need someone who is positive, who is friendly, who is respectful to come in to their home and give them a hand. And it looks different for everybody. Two people in a wheelchair, same age, same gender identity, same background, will handle having someone come into their home differently to each other, because every single one of us is a unique human being. And one of the things that I will say that I see is a problem all the time with service providers is treating people exactly the same way. When you provide services to people living with a disability and you're being paid under the NDIS, so under the NDIS scheme, think about the person. Think about how you interact and provide those services. Do you walk in there and go, oh, yep, we got the referral and Bill's in a wheelchair and so he needs help with showering, he needs help with transferring, we've got to put his shoes on for him or his slippers or whatever he prefers, and this is what we've got to do. And then you get Andrew, who's also in a wheelchair, who needs the same sort of services. Are you treating them both the same? Because they're not the same people just because they've both got a wheelchair. You know, one person might be happy to shower themselves. You've just got to, you know, give them a hand to get in there. And another person might need you to actually help them shower. Some people like to have their independence and like to do as much as they possibly can, even if they get it wrong themselves. I've seen kids that go, I've done my shirt up, and they've done their buttons and they're all mismatched, and somebody's come along and gone, here, let me just fix that up for you. And instead of stopping and acknowledging to this child, hey, great job, are you happy with it the way it is? Yep. Okay, did you want it like mine, where they're like, it's sitting a little differently? Like, I've got mine all like this. Are you happy with yours like that? Yeah, this is how I want it. Okay, great. Cool. It's about respect. It's about, like, that child gave it a go and they did their best job and they've come out, hey, I did it, and they're really happy and they're really proud. And if you walk up and then go and change it to put it so that all the buttons and the holes all match up so it sits nice and flat instead of we've missed a button here and we've missed a hole here. You know, maybe just celebrate the fact that they actually did it. Doesn't need to be perfect because they did it and they're proud of it. I hear these stories all the time of where providers have come into the participant to work with the participant or the person with a disability, and they've walked in, hi, I'm Mary and I'm going to be working with you. So I have Tuesdays and Fridays available at 10 till 11. I will be charging the maximum in the pricing arrangement, which is currently $65, and my prices are subject to change after the 1st of July. Wow. Okay, what happened to how about we work together? How about you find out what we actually require? And what happened to, so hi, how are you? And what interests you? And what are you looking for? And what are you hoping to get out of working with, you know, like what services do you need? It's really sad, some of the stories that I hear. You know, and I hear it the other way too, where people have worked really hard and worked with the people that they're providing a service to and then they've not got paid. But what if we can look at how these proposed changes, we don't know whether they're going to be approved or not, and I really honestly do not know the parliamentary process. It's something I'm now learning. I don't know what happens now. I know it goes away to be reviewed and it's going to be discussed at some point, but I really I'm learning. I'm learning what happens when a bill that is to be amended is put into Parliament. I know that it's got to be approved before it can be implemented, but I'm still learning this whole process. So I look forward to learning that bit. But what if we were to really look, if you are a service provider to a person with a disability, and we know that we're feeling a lot of uncertainty with if this bill passes, what that could mean for the people receiving the services, the people providing the services. We also know the task force in place that's reviewing all the invoicing to make sure that there's less fraud and all of that going on. We also know that there's the task force to discuss the potential of all businesses needing to be registered with NDIS and what that could look like. And we're waiting to hear about that. So we know that there's a lot of change going on and everybody's feeling the stress and tension. But what if we could stop right now, especially since it is Autism Awareness Month? Yesterday was the day, but today, like, it's still the month. And that's just one example. But what if we were to stop and actually celebrate the wins that, because the NDIS came into existence, that people have? And one of the wins I know is access to services such as a support worker. Like, that is so cool that people that actually need a support worker to come in and help them get ready for the day where necessary, and then help them to access the community. And it could be as simple as taking them to an art gallery. It could be as simple as taking them to their football training. And, you know, it could be as simple as taking them to go bowling or to the movies, something that most people take for granted, and it's a choice. Yeah, I'll go to the movies now. I can't be bothered. That's as simple as it is for them. But for other people, it's like, right, I've got a plan. I've got to put everything into place. I need somebody to remind me that I'm going. Like, it's a big thing. So can we stop and for a moment and celebrate that with the implementation of NDIS, in all its positives and negatives, somebody can now have a support worker come in and support them for what they require, and that is funded, that the person living with the disability doesn't have to find the money to have that support. And for a lot of people, that support, that person coming in, is the only person they have communication with. And that is important because we are people. And whether we like to connect with people every day or whether we like to just, you know, do our thing for the most time and speak to somebody every so often, it kind of doesn't matter how much connection you do, but still some connection is important. So let's have a stop for a minute and have a yes, that's actually a good thing. And I'm just going to play this little tune. It's only going to go for like a minute, which is, you know, celebrate golden days. So let's have a listen to this. Okay, I love that little tune because we're talking about celebrating and I'm sitting here like, you know, going, yeah, I can dance to that. That's super cool. At least in not that I'm in a wheelchair, but I'm sitting in my wheelchair paying attention, being here. So I did not get up and actually dance, but, yeah, had a little bit of a movement, a little bit of a shake the hands, and it's good. It's upbeat. So we are talking, and it will this today is really relevant to people in Australia that live with disabilities and to the rest of the world. I'm not sure what your process is of helping and supporting people that live with a disability, but here in Australia, as I shared at the start of the show, it's the National Disability Insurance Scheme. So I want to really keep the focus on the positives of the scheme and what it has achieved for people. And, you know, I remember working in community health and we saw people like of all walks in life. It didn't matter whether they had a disability or not. They came in to access our services. And we used to have a bit of a triage system and then a bit of a call where we'd talk to the people and identify with them. So the referral might have been for, say, physiotherapy or exercise physiology, and we'd give them a call up to book their initial appointment. We'd talk to them and we'd have a few questions, and often we'd find that they needed another service. So we actually got them in to the service that was going to be most needed for them first. And sometimes it wasn't what they were referred to us for. Sometimes we identified that they probably needed an occupational therapist to go out and see them first and then come to physio and then work their way down to, not down to, but across to exercise physiology to get the best support, because in the phone call we found out that they were having falls or they were tripping on a part of their house or they had trouble getting up from the chair, things like that. So we actually did that, and then the National Disability Insurance Scheme was started, and through the trials it was like, okay, so instead of us seeing this person, if we get this referral, we've got to send them over to get an NDIS plan. Things like that, you know, how is it funded? How are people paid? All those kind of things. So one of the things is, though, that it made it a little easier for people living with a disability that met the criteria to get that funded plan, to access services such as support workers, cleaners, gardeners, psychology, counselling, also to access allied health professionals. It's been so important to have this funding in place that people didn't have to pay and still don't have to pay out of their own pocket for a lot of essential services that make such a positive difference in their life. Now, as I said, change is scary. I get it. I get it. Like, and I think that right now, because we have so many uncertainties, we do not know what the we don't know whether the bill delivered to Parliament will pass or not. We don't know the outcome of that, and we can't do anything much more than prepare for one way or the other. And I think that if we were to look and say, all right, well, if this bill was implemented, what does it mean for people living with a disability, and what does it mean for providers? And then have a little bit of a whatever it's going to take for you to alleviate your stress. So if you feel sharing it on social media is going to help you feel less anxious and stressed about it, by all means. And there's only a few trusted people that I follow their posts, and more on LinkedIn. And I go, yeah, there's some really great points here. I agree with it. I don't agree with it, whatever. But we keep it civil. We keep it respectful. But the one thing that I would really love to touch on, and this has been coming up a lot, and especially first thing this morning, was about business compliance. So we see a lot of people who are independents or sole traders, for another name, start their support worker business, and they get their business number, and then that's it. They do get their insurance, and some of them have a service agreement. But what they don't understand is that here in Australia, the minute that you get an Australian business number, you now have to follow Australian consumer law. Now, there's different aspects of Australian consumer law, and I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not going to get into all of that right now, because it really depends on the services that you provide. Now, when we're talking about working with people with a disability, there is a legislation in place. In fact, there's a lot of legislations in place that will come to a business. And one of those legislations is that it is the Disability Services and Inclusion Act of 2023. And that legislation, thanks for the love and likes, guys, appreciate it. That legislation is what anybody at all that provides a service to a person with a disability, whether you're getting paid with peanuts, whether you're getting not paid at all, or whether you are being paid with NDIS funding, is to follow this legislation. And as part of being a business owner, no matter what your service is, so I'm moving right away from, it's not even about disability, it's whatever your service is. The minute you set up a business, you have policies and procedures and maybe documents that are functional in your business. And if you think about it, if I'm selling you a pen, I have a refund policy. If I'm signing you up to one-to-one coaching and you complete the form, you know, there's an agreement in place that you're going to show up on time, and I'm agreeing I'm going to show up on time. And then we have a bit of a cancellation policy. So, you know, if you cancel in less than 24 hours, you're not refunded, whatever the policy is, right? It's own business policy. It could be if I have to cancel, then you will be refunded, or we'll just carry that session over, like whatever it is. And we're both parties are agreeing to this, which is the agreement. But within the agreement, there's terms and conditions, there's procedures. So if I need to cancel the services, so I can't attend for our coaching session, what is my process around that? What is my procedure around that? We all actually follow policies and procedures by doing our job, because we do it at a certain time. We have certain ethics and morals, right? But when it comes to owning a business, it is really important to write these down properly as policies and procedures that you will follow. Okay. Now, the disability sector, especially, and I am focused on Australia here, guys, is no different. You have set up a business to work with people with a disability, so you follow the legislations that apply to that. And in setting it up properly before you start, you know that if you have an incident, it could be a minor incident, it could be a big incident, but we know that things happen, right? And if you do this, if you have this incident, what are you going to do? Now, if your first instinct is the person that I'm working with hit me, they yelled at me, they scratched me, they pinned me up against the wall, right? That's a pretty serious incident because it's assault, right? Whether the person understands it or not, it is still actually assault. So what happens is that is now an incident. Now, if your first place of when this incident happens is to go to Facebook to find out what you should do, that is a bit of a business concern. Now, I'm not saying that Facebook groups and that don't have a place. They do. They certainly do. So connecting with other people that are in the industry that can give you ideas is certainly important. It is certainly something that, you know, it's great to debrief. It's great to go, hey, guys, I'm working with someone and they absolutely love computer gaming. Just wondering where a great place is to get some new computer games for them. Like, you know, they want to go out and buy a new computer game and I don't even know where to start. It's perfect for that. But when it comes to your business and your business responsibilities, there's your legal requirements, there's your compliance requirements, and this is one of the biggest debates happening right now in all the groups is, and we are waiting until after the 1st of July to hear, but what will the task force that's working on whether NDIS registration will be mandatory or not? What will that look like? Now, somebody, I shared a post and somebody commented on that post and they said, well, I believe if they mandate registration that everybody that needs to become NDIS registered as a provider should get free policies and procedures, that they should just all be given their policies and procedures. And I'm like, what? Hold on a minute. Why? Because setting up your policies and procedures is something that is part of setting up your business. It doesn't matter whether it's in disability. It doesn't matter whether it's selling a pen. It doesn't matter whether it's doing resin art and selling that. Every business has its own responsibility to set up its own documents, policies, and procedures in alignment with the legislation and the services that they're providing. Obviously, if you are selling a pen, you know, or you're selling something with beads, you're going to have, as part of your policy and procedure, we provide everybody with a cautionary note, you know, choking hazard, not suitable for children under the age of 10. I don't know. I'm just working it out, right? You know, you work it out that is safety for everybody. Now, you might automatically do that, but then I've seen people sell stuff with no warnings at all and then just go ahead and give it to their little infant that's in the thing. And there's this elastic band and there's these beads and this you know, two-year-old's like, look at this, mummy, it stretches. And next thing, there's beads everywhere or they're sucking on it and then all of a sudden they're pulling and sucking and they've choked on a bead. I haven't actually seen a child choke on a bead, but there's a risk, right? So with every business and everything that you do, there is an element of risk. So what is the risk and why haven't you identified it first? It's the same as if the incident happened where the support worker is beaten up by the person they're providing the service to. You know, was there any indicators that or any information that you could have gathered to find out that this might happen? You know, is there a trigger that sets this person off to do this behavior? Not excusing the behavior, but for some people, that's what happens. So do I think that if they mandate registration that everybody should just be given a whole bundle of policies and procedures? I do not think so, because businesses should already have them in place, which is one of the messages I've been trying to get out. If they mandate that to work in the service to be paid with NDIS funding, you have to become a registered provider with NDIS, if that's the decision that is made, sure, a lot of people aren't going to be happy. But if you are already working in the industry, guess what? It's really a matter of following the process because you already have your documents, policies, and procedures in place, right? Like, of course you do, because you are being compliant from a perspective of running a business and you're accepting responsibility for your business. Now, I know and I've seen it that, you know, policies and procedures can cost a lot of money. Well, no, not when you are prepared to do a bit of the work yourself. When you're prepared to sit down and read through documents that have been generically templated out. And sure, people will be opposed to cookie cutters. I see somebody saying, don't get cookie cutters templates. They're not good. Well, you know, some cookie cutter templates, to use that language, have the basis in there, they have the examples, and they're actually about teaching the person how to write their own policy and procedure. Now, others are not. Others are like, yep, here you go, this is all done for you, and they're really not. So, yeah, it is buyer beware. It is be careful. Yes, we have templated them. They are generic templates. We have done some in one bundle. We've done a little bit of the work, and we give you lots of prompts. What does this mean to you? What does this look like for your business? Because you're already doing it. So the answer should be pretty easy, but it's a matter of having a think about it. We've got a course, a little course on writing policies and procedures, and it is a guideline on how to put it together, the relevant information, and how you write it and the information that you put in there is suited to how you're going to implement it in your business. So let's give a little bit of an example on that, since that's my little topic of today. And it's meant to be about empowering you to think about that this is not a big deal in respect to, it's just going to take you a little bit of time, a little bit of energy, a little bit of thought, but it's actually going to help you identify what you actually do in your day as part of your business. And then there's links on where you can go and read the legislations and the different requirements of being a business that does it. So I'm going to talk about if I was to do resin art, which I've started to learn how to do that. I haven't done it for a little bit, but I was making a few resin art things. Now, we know that resin on its own can be toxic. It depends on the type that you get. Even the non-toxic one, you need to be very careful with. Resin is sticky, it dries hard, it's like messy. It doesn't matter how good you are at pouring, it is still messy. So if I'm to sit and make something with resin, there's a few things that I need to have in place, a few things that I need to do. Now, you might be listening to this going, what's this got to do with policies and procedures and working with people with disabilities? It's the theory, and I'm doing something that's easier to follow than breaking down how to write a policy and procedure on medications or incidences or something like that. Because that, my dear friends, that's intense. I'm trying to keep it light. So I'm going to make a resin coaster. Let's talk about it from that perspective. I'm going to make a resin coaster. Okay. So what are the things I need to think about? I need to think about the end product because that impacts the type of resin that I use. So the end product is a coaster that I can put my coffee mug on with a hot drink, you know, or even a cold drink. So it's going to have different temperatures. So the end product needs to be able to handle different temperatures. Okay. So we've got a goal. It is a coaster that can handle different temperatures. Cool. Now we know if it's an icy drink, we know that there's going to be some moisture. So it now needs to be able to handle that bit of moisture dripping onto it as the glass or the can or the item that's got, you know, that moisture dripping off it that is sitting on there. Okay. Now, a hot drink will have the steam, but that tends to more come out the top, so not so much the bottom. Okay, so end goal that we've got is a coaster that is going to be able to handle a bit of moisture, the heat, and the cold. Right, that's our goal. Now, if we were to go over to working with a person with disability, the goal or the objective might be to be able to assist the person with they're showering, so that the policy you could be working on might be manual handling, and that policy and procedure might be, you know, do you do a risk assessment, you know, to think about that. Do you assess what manual handling is required and the level of manual handling, and do you need other equipment for this? Okay, and then if we come back to the coaster, to make the coaster, we're going to need the right resin that can handle the different temperatures. We're going to need a mold to put it in. So, you know, we're going to do a heart, we're going to do a flower, we're going to do a circle, we're going to do a square. Like, what does our coaster look like? It's going to be unique. Okay. Do we want the coaster to just be clear, like see-through, because that's how resin is, right? It's clear. Or do we want to make it really colorful and creative? So maybe we want to like have like a rainbow kind of effect going out. Or if it's a flower, we might want to like really be creative around this petal has pink to the edge, and then it's got a bit of purple, and then it's got a bit of white going through it, and then the center's black. Like, what is it that you want your end product to look like? And how much work is it going to take to get there? Because if you want to work with, you know, four different colors in your resin art of your coaster, then you've got to work out what happens if I put black in first and then I do purple. Is the purple going to get lost in the black? You know, do I need less black and more purple? So you got to plan all this out, right? Where are you doing your resin? Like, are you going to do it in a room that you close the door? That is really not a good thing because of the OH&S risks, or the work safety risks of working with resin, because it should be in an open-aired space. Now, you don't want the window open with the wind blowing in, because you're going to get some dirt on it, and that's not a really great idea to the end result, right? But somewhere that has some, you know, that is an open space with a lot of air around it, you could have a, you know, maybe the doors open at the back that it's just letting the fresh air in instead of in a closed room. Okay, so ventilation is important when working with resin. If we come over to working with the person and manual handling, you know, like, in what situations are we going to, like, have we got enough room around the hoist that we're going to use? Or if it's a bed to wheelchair transfer, you know, have we got enough room to turn the wheelchair around in the room? Like, looking at the environment and the safety for both the person and yourself. Do you see how there's parallels here? That it doesn't really matter what we talk about. We're identifying a risk. We're identifying the tools that we require. We're identifying the exact details of what may be required. Now, when it comes to writing your policies and procedures on, say, manual handling, it's going to be broad, just as like working with the resin is going to be broad. Because today it might be a coaster, and tomorrow it might be a bookend or a phone holder or a charm, you know. So every day is going to be different, but it's the process and the tools that are required, one, to work with the resin, one, to do manual handling. And in your manual handling process, you will say, you know, if like thinking about BackSafe and then learning and doing some training on BackSafe to keep you safe and the person safe. Working with resin, you might go and watch a YouTube video, or you might actually go and do a class or two to help you know how to work with it properly. What safety equipment do I need when working with resin, and what safety equipment may I need when working and doing a manual handling maneuver with a person? You know, do I need to wear gloves because, you know, the person has, I don't know, I'm just, it's up to you. Like, it's just different things. Or maybe, you know, their wheelchair that you're going to fold up and put in your car, it has a little bit of a grease bit or something that hasn't quite been fixed. So to stop you getting the grease on you, you're going to wear gloves when you're lifting the wheelchair or something. Like, what is the safety? What is the process? You know, things like, if we go and how does it get carried out? So they're the things that you think about when you're doing your policies and procedures. And they're things that you're going to naturally do, right? There's things that you're automatically going to do. But are you doing them the right way for safety for everybody? That's a big thing is, you know, got to always think about the risk to yourself, the risk to the person. Same as working with resin, same as working with paint, same as working, even when you go and mow your lawn, you have a process in place that you do. If you go out and mow your lawn and you know that the broken tree twigs have fallen down, there's a strong chance that if you don't have safety glasses on and you don't have, you know, if you're out there in your shorts and your tank top and your thongs and you start mowing the lawn and you didn't pick up the broken sticks that are sitting there, there's a fair chance that you're going to get hit at some point somewhere, or someone else is going to get hit because you didn't go into it prepared. You just went, right, let's start the lawnmower, let's get that going, done, job done. So you see, everything we do in life actually has a process that we follow, a procedure. It's just that we don't need to write down step one, step two to mowing the lawns. But if we were to teach someone to do it, what would we teach them? And that's what your policies and procedures are all about. It's about the fact that you know in your business how to deliver the service and how to keep yourself safe, how to keep the person you're working with safe, and what to do if things do go wrong, and who do you contact, and what support do you need. That is simply what policies and procedures are in their basic formatting. So when it comes to setting up your business, those policies and procedures form the foundation of how you're going to deliver a service, whether it's in disability, whether it's doing resin art, whether it is selling jewelry. There's got to be some processes that you put in place. And the thing is that, you know, I started to learn how to make rings. I'm still playing with my idea until I can come up with something I like. And at one point it was like, well, you're going to need to solder this. I'm like, damn it, I don't have a soldering iron. I don't even know how to solder. Like, I have an idea of how to do a basic thing. But yeah, this bit's more talking about that looks more like welding. And then you need your safety gear and, oh my gosh, don't know what to do. So if I was to do that in a safe space and minimizing risk of harm to self or others or setting the house on fire because working with a flame, then need to think about what is my process? What is my procedure to actually do this? This is all this is. It's about how does your business work and how does your business deliver the service? So if we want to come back to the big hot topics of the NDIS at the moment, the bill that's been passed into Parliament of getting NDIS back on track and what it could or could not look like, sure, if it's going to help you, prepare for the worst case scenario. But even still, there's so many variables in there that we don't really know what that looks like properly. But if it helps you, keep dissecting it, keep breaking it down. If you're worried about having to become NDIS registered, please don't, because there is going to be a process. And if you already have, which of course you do, like, of course you have your documents, policies and procedures in place because you did that right at the start when you started your business. But if for some reason you haven't done it, then I can certainly help you out with that at a reasonable cost to that. But it is something that you can sort out that isn't a big thing. And if you tell me that you're too busy to do it now because you're working so much, I'm going to question your priorities. Because yes, you've got to work and you've got to have some money, but I also say that your business setup should be a top priority. It should have been done at the start. If it's not, let's get onto it straight away. Now, I'm just going to change the energy here because I know that that was intense and I know that's heavy. So let's go to motivational aspirations, just a little piece of music that we can play right now, and that, you know, just get the beat going a little bit, just lift the energy a little more. Thank you. So hopefully you're now feeling that you actually can set your business up properly, no matter what it is, like whatever your message is, that you can set it up for success. And setting it up for success, like everything in life, it takes a plan, right? Whenever we do anything at all, it takes a plan. And as we then go ahead and implement that plan, sometimes we need help from other people and sometimes we don't. But when you start a business, and working in the NDIS space, or the being paid with NDIS funding and working with people that live with a disability, it's important to plan. You are working with people. Like, and every single person that we, as we said at the start of the show, every single person is different and unique. So when you plan it out, part of your business plan and strategy is, let's get all the documents, policies, and procedures that I require. Like, let's make that happen. So it's so important that you plan. And guess what? Stuff will happen. Things will go wrong. Yesterday, Kathy and I were having a great chat around nutrition on that show. You can check that out. So if you're listening to the recording, it was the 2nd of April here in Australia. And we were doing that show and everything was going really well. And then all of a sudden my internet dropped out and it just ended, right? Show just ended. We were wrapping up anyway. And I sat back and I went, oh man, do I need to go into my other recording area and record an end and like put it all together? And then I went, you know what? No, let's just put it out there as it is. Let's put it out there that it ended abruptly. I put in the description, it just ended, because stuff happens, right? We're never going to get everything perfect all the time. So if you stop and you take this time to invest, and yeah, there will be a little bit of financial investment in it, but it is your business and it is a business expense. You are working with people who require you to know what you're doing, but also to listen and hear them as well. So let's try to celebrate the positives that the disability sector has, in the sense of the NDIS starting, the National Disability Insurance Scheme starting, where there is funding for people who have a disability and are eligible for that funding to access services paid for with that funding. Let's celebrate that that actually exists, and then we can look at all the problems. But if we come from a mindset of how can it be better in a way that, and it's going to have to be a two-tiered approach in my personal perspective, because there's how can we make it better for the people that access these, accesses the scheme to have a plan? How can we make it better for them? And how can we make it better for the providers to be providing the best quality service with respect and dignity for the person with the disability? And let's also say with honesty. And we, if you're listening to this and you've been in the scheme for a long time, or working in this sector for a long time, you'll know exactly what I mean. But things will always be looked at in either a positive or a negative. So let's celebrate what is working and what has come out of the development of this over 10 years ago. And let's celebrate the fact that we actually have it in place, because some places don't. And then from that place of celebration, let's look at the different things that we could do better, and then focus on that. And I know a lot of it is out of our control, because it goes back to the governments and the parties and the commission and all of that. I know a lot of it is out of the everyday person's hand. And as an independent provider, or a small provider, or even a big provider, what are you doing now that you could do better? Is your systems in place? Do you have your systems in place? Do you have your processes in place? Do you have your policies and your procedures and your documents in place that protect you, the business owner, and the person that you provide the service to? It comes back to being that simple. There are a lot of risks involved in running any form of business, financial, emotional, so many risks. but I want to focus on the risks outside of having awareness of them. Like I said, with the resin, you know, I could get the resin stuck on my fingers because I didn't wear gloves. I could spill it on the floor and then I've got to clean that mess up. Like, yeah, there's risks in everything that we do. But the beauty is that we actually get to celebrate what does work. And if we can stop and celebrate that even for a minute, hey guys, I know the fault. I know what's going wrong. I know what could be done better. But let's stop and celebrate what is working. Let's acknowledge that some people might never have had support to be able to access the community if they didn't get an NDIS plan that helped them get a support worker. Some people might be stuck in their home because they can't get out and they don't have the money to pay for somebody to help them get out to go to the store or go to the movies or something. There is so many benefits that have come out of this scheme. And sure, there is a lot of problems. I acknowledge that. But today, just today, can we please acknowledge the successes? I'm going to leave it on that note because I do have a lot to say about this. And it comes from passion and it comes from caring from all aspects. But I also understand, like, I'm very big on compliance, very big on compliance. So thanks for listening. Thanks for those that are sharing the love of this show. As we get going, we're hoping to grow our audience a bit more and more people will listen and things like that. But I appreciate those that show up. I appreciate the love and the support for the show. And you know what? I'm going to be honest. This morning I was like, no, I don't want to go do that. I just want to, like, you know, read a book for a little bit longer. And then I'm like, no, you committed. Show up. But, you know, we all have our moments where we just want to snuggle down for a little bit longer with the book or something like that. So I appreciate the love. I appreciate the support. If you're listening to this as a recording, whenever you listen to it, I hope it's brought some value to you. Who knows, by the time you listen to it, we might have the answers to some of the things I was talking about. It is, after all, the, you know, April 3rd, 2024 here in Australia. And we do know that moving forward after the 1st of July, we're going to have a lot more answers than we do now. But right now, let's support each other. Let's celebrate the wins. Let's celebrate the successes. Let's celebrate working with people and treating people with respect, no matter who they are. Just have respect. And we're going to go out on our song, Break Free. Here we go. We're just going to play it and have an amazing day, evening. And thank you again for your support.